Isaiah chapter 12. Well, I think that this is God's fantasy, if you like, about the words that his people, his repentant people, would one day say. In that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, Yahweh, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you comfort me. It's a bit like Hosea when he's in relationship with Gomer, the prostitute, living out the relationship between God and Israel. He, as it were, puts words in her mouth. He fantasizes about getting remarried, having an open-air second wedding ceremony, and the things she'd say to him. And this, then, I'd say, is God's hope. Now, Isaiah initially was talking at the time of Judah's sins, just before the Assyrian invasion. And the idea was that they would repent, the Assyrians would be destroyed, and they would set up some kind of very restored messianic kingdom with Hezekiah as the king, but that didn't really happen. But I think the idea is that finally it would happen. Maybe it could have happened in a later period when the exiles were supposed to return in repentance, and yet that also didn't quite happen. Most of them preferred to stay in Babylon and Persia, and yet finally it will come true. So these words, in essence, are going to be true of all God's people at the last day. That's us. I will give thanks to you, Yahweh, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you comfort me. Now, this phrase turned away, it literally means has returned. And it's the same word used for repentance and for Judah's intended return from exile. So God's anger turns because we repent. That's the idea. Well, they didn't, did they? They didn't fully repent. And so, as Isaiah later says, his hand is stretched out still and his anger has not turned away, because they did not get it. They didn't respond. And in Jeremiah 2, you see the Jews complaining that they thought that God's wrath would be turned away simply because they said, oh yes, we have sinned. But they had said that but not repented. So in the end, it is recognizing that we have sinned and provoked God's wrath, and yet God has saved us and has comforted us. And now Isaiah 40 is going to talk about that, that comfort, comfort my people. But that could have happened when the exiles repented. But again, it didn't fully happen. And so it was reapplied and rescheduled to the work of John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus. But even then, Israel didn't want it. So in that day, finally, when all these potentials that didn't happen will finally have happened, verse 2, we will say, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for Yahweh is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Well, this is a quote from the Song of Moses, when God's people were delivered from Egypt through the Red Sea, and that not only looks forward to baptism, but it looks forward to our final redemption from this world, and salvation from Egypt, from sin. And Yahweh is my strength. This is what Hezekiah means. Yah is my strength. But he didn't want it, did he? He turns away. His heart is lifted up in pride, we're told, because of all the presents that he got after the Assyrians were defeated. And he gets pally with Babylon, raises this evil son Manasseh and so forth, and was just happy to have another 15 years in this life, and didn't want to look to the things of the kingdom. Verse 3, therefore with joy you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. Well, that's continuing the allusion to the Song of Moses. They cross the Red Sea, they rejoice, sing the Song of Moses, and they come to the wells of Rephidim. But in the context of the returning exiles, the idea was that all pilgrims to Jerusalem were supposed to drink her spring water, and that's alluded to in Psalm 87. And again, this didn't quite happen. And so these things are reinterpreted and reapplied. as the Lord Jesus clearly talks about drinking water of everlasting life from the well that is him. So it's a tragedy that the purpose of God was structured in this way, so that at Hezekiah's time, at the time of the return from exile, they could have had these experiences, but they did not want them, because they did not from their hearts repent. But finally, despite all these failed programs, as it were, God's purpose will come true, and those of us who are truly repentant will be saved, and this will become finally true for us. In that day, verse 4, you will say, "Give thanks to Yahweh, declare his doings among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted." Verse 5, "God has done excellent things, let this be known in all the earth." Well, it is continuing the ideas of the Song of Moses, but the idea is that God has done great things for us, that I who provoked God's wrath have been saved, and here I am, saved with eternal life. And this will be our motivation for going out to the remaining people on this earth after the Lord has come back, to preach to them with such intensity and such conviction, because we were mortal, we sinned, we repented, and here I am living eternal life. And yet, the essence of all that is now, because even now, the Lord says in John 4, you can draw water from the wells of salvation right now. You can have that eternal life now, although we shall die. We have no immortal soul, we won't go on living after we're dead, but we can be assured of future salvation. And in that sense, by God's grace, you can start living the kind of life you're going to live forever. This is what gives witness its power. It is not a case of sort of winning intellectual arguments with the people. Rather, it's the case that we are witnessing to people with a passion and intensity, because I, who have sinned, I who am so weak and was so weak, still am, have been saved. I have been forgiven and given this great salvation. And then finally, verse 6, "Cry aloud and shout, you inhabitant of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is great in the midst of you." The intention at the time of the restoration was that they would build the temple system that is commanded to them in Ezekiel 40 to 48, and at the end of that section, the city would be called Yahweh is there, Yahweh Shamach. The idea is that God himself would live in that city. Well, that didn't happen, and yet, as we know from the end of Revelation, it will ultimately happen at the Lord's return. And one of the great things, the many wonderful things that will be true when the Lord comes, is that all the previous wasted potentials will now, as it were, be done away with. That finally, after all the missed opportunities, after all the times when human beings and groups of people at different times let the baton drop, that finally he who shall come will have come.